26. Blackthorn Unleashed. 29 years ago. Incense burned in a brazier as large as a boulder. Dalinar sniffled as Evie threw a handful of tiny papers, each folded and inscribed with a very small glyph, into the brazier. Fragrant smoke washed over him, then whipped in the other direction as winds ripped through the war camp, carrying windspren like lines of light. Evie bowed her head before the brazier. She had strange beliefs, his betrothed. Among her people, simple glyph words weren't enough for prayers. You needed to burn something more pungent. While she spoke of Yazaraza and Kalek, she said their names strangely. Yasi and Kelai, and she made no mention of the Almighty. Instead, she spoke of something called the One, a heretical tradition the Ardents told him came from Eri. Dalinar bowed his head for a prayer. Let me be stronger than those who would kill me. Simple and to the point, the kind he figured the Almighty would prefer. He didn't feel like having Evie write it out.
The One watch you, near husband, Evie murmured, and soften your temper.
Her accent, to which he was now accustomed, was thicker than her brother's. Soften it? Evie, that's not the point of battle.
You needn't kill in anger, Dalinar. If you must fight, do it knowing that each death wounds the One, for we are all people in Yesi's sight.
Yeah. All right, Dalinar said. The Ardents didn't seem to mind that he was marrying someone half-pagan. It is wisdom to bring her to Vorin Truth, Yavenna, Gavilar's head Ardent, had told him, similar to how she'd spoken of his conquest.
Your sword will bring strength and glory to the Almighty.
Idly, he wondered what it would take to actually earn the Ardents' displeasure.
Be a man. And not a beast, Dalinar, Evie said, then pulled close to him, setting her head on his shoulder and encouraging him to wrap his arms around her.
He did so with a limp gesture. Storms, he could hear the soldiers snicker as they passed by. The Blackthorn being consoled before battle, publicly hugging and acting lovey? Evie turned her head toward him for a kiss, and he presented a chaste one, their lips barely touching. She accepted that, smiling. And she did have a beautiful smile. Life would have been a lot easier for him if Evie would have just been willing to move along with the marriage. But her traditions demanded a long engagement, and her brother kept trying to get new provisions into the contract. Dalinar stomped away. In his pocket, he held another glyph ward, one provided by Navani, who obviously worried about the accuracy of Evie's foreign script. He felt at the smooth paper and didn't burn the prayer. The stone ground beneath his feet was pocked with tiny holes, the pinpricks of hiding grass. As he passed the tents, he could see it properly covering the plain outside, waving in the wind. Tall stuff, almost as high as his waist. He'd never seen grass that tall in Kolin lands. Across the plain, an impressive force gathered, an army larger than any they'd faced. His heart jumped in anticipation. After 2 years of political maneuvering, here they were, a real battle with a real army. Win or lose, this was the fight for the kingdom. The sun was on its way up, and the armies had arrayed themselves north and south so neither would have it in their eyes. Dalinar hastened to his armorer's tent and emerged a short time later in his plate. He climbed carefully into the saddle as one of the grooms brought his horse. The large black beast wasn't fast, but it could carry a man in shard plate. Dalinar guided the horse past ranks of soldiers, spearmen, archers, light-eyed heavy infantry, even a nice group of 50 cavalrymen under Illamar, with hooks and ropes for attacking shard-bearers. Anticipation spren waved like banners among them all. Dalinar still smelled incense when he found his brother, geared up and mounted, patrolling the front lines. Dalinar trotted up beside Gavilar.
"Your young friend didn't show for the battle," Gavilar noted.
"Sabariel," Dalinar said, "he's not my friend."
"There's a hole in the enemy line still waiting for him," Gavilar said, pointing. "Reports say he had a problem with his supply lines."
"Lies. He's a coward. If he'd arrived, he'd have had to actually pick a side."
They rode past Tirum, Gavilar's captain of the guard, who wore Dalinar's extra plate for this battle. Technically, that still belonged to Evie. Not Toe, but Evie herself, which was strange. What would a woman do with shard plate? Give it to a husband, apparently. Tirum saluted. He was capable with shards, having trained, as did many aspiring light eyes with borrowed sets.
"You've done well, Dalinar," Gavilar said as they rode past. "That plate will serve us today."
Dalinar made no reply. Even though Evie and her brother had delayed such a painfully long time to even agree to the betrothal, Dalinar had done his duty. He just wished he felt more for the woman. Some passion. Some true emotion. He couldn't laugh without her seeming confused by the conversation. He couldn't boast without her being disappointed in his bloodlust. She always wanted him to hold her, as if being alone for one storming minute would make her wither and blow away. And,
"Ho!"
one of the scouts called from a wooden mobile tower. She pointed, her voice distant.
"Ho there!"
Dalinar turned, expecting an advance attack from the enemy. But no, Kalinor's army was still deploying. It wasn't men that had attracted the scout's attention, but horses. A small herd of them, 11 or 12 in number, galloping across the battlefield. Proud, majestic.
"Rashadium," Gavilar whispered. "It's rare they roam this far east."
Dalinar swallowed and ordered to round up the beasts.
"Rashadium?"
Yes, he could see the spren trailing after them in the air. Music spren, for some reason. Made no storming sense. Well, no use trying to capture the beasts. They couldn't be held unless they chose a rider.
"I want you to do something for me today, brother," Gavilar said. "High Prince Kalinor himself needs to fall. As long as he lives, there will be resistance. If he dies, his line goes with him. His cousin, Loredar Vama, can seize power.
Will Loredar swear to you?"
"I'm certain of it," Gavilar said.
"Then I'll find Kalinor," Dalinar said, "and end this."
"He won't join the battle easily, knowing him. But he's a shard bearer, and so..."
"So we need to force him to engage."
Gavilar smiled.
"What?" Dalinar said. "I'm simply pleased to see you talking of tactics."
"I'm not an idiot," Dalinar growled.
He always paid attention to the tactics of a battle. He simply wasn't one for endless meetings and jaw-wagging. Though, even those seemed more tolerable these days. Perhaps it was familiarity. Or maybe it was Gavilar's talk of forging a dynasty. It was the increasingly obvious truth that this campaign, now stretching over many years, was no quick bash and grab.
"Bring me Kalinor, brother," Gavilar said. "We need the Blackthorn today."
"All you need do is unleash him."
"Ha! As if anyone existed who could leash him in the first place."
"Isn't that what you've been trying to do?" Dalinar thought immediately. "Marrying me off? Talking about how we have to be civilized now? Highlighting everything I do wrong as the things we must expunge?"
He bit his tongue, and they finished their ride down the lines. They parted with a nod, and Dalinar rode over to join his elites.
"Orders, sir?" asked Rian.
"Stay out of my way," Dalinar said, lowering his faceplate.
The shardplate helm sealed closed, and a hush fell over the elites. Dalinar summoned Oathbringer, the sword of a fallen king, and waited. The enemy had come to stop Gavilar's continued pillage of the countryside. They would have to make the first move. These last few months spent attacking isolated, unprotected towns had made for unfulfilling battles, but it also put Kalanor in a terrible position. If he sat back in his strongholds, he allowed more of his vassals to be destroyed. Already those started to wonder why they paid Kalanor taxes. A handful had preemptively sent messengers to Gavilar saying they would not resist. The region was on the brink of flipping to the Colins, and so High Prince Kalanor had been forced to leave his fortifications to engage here. Dalinar shifted on his horse, waiting, planning. The moment came soon enough. Kalanor's forces started to cross the plain in a cautious wave, shields raised toward the sky. Gavilar's archers released flights of arrows. Kalanor's men were well trained. They maintained their formations beneath the deadly hail. Eventually, they met Colin heavy infantry, a block of men so armored that it might as well have been solid stone. At the same time, mobile archer units sprang out to the sides. Lightly armored, they were fast. If the Colins won this battle, and Dalinar was confident they would, it would be because of the newer battlefield tactics they'd been exploring. The enemy army found itself flanked, arrows pounding the sides of their assault blocks. Their lines stretched, the infantry trying to reach the archers, but that weakened the central block, which suffered a beating from the heavy infantry. Standard spearmen blocks engaged enemy units as much to position them as to do them harm. This all happened on the scale of the battlefield. Dalinar had to climb off his horse and send for a groom to walk the animal as he waited. Inside, Dalinar fought back the thrill, which urged him to ride in immediately. Eventually, he picked a section of Colin troops who were faring poorly against the enemy block. Good enough. He remounted and kicked his horse into a gallop. This was the right moment. He could feel it. He needed to strike now when the battle was pivoting between victory and loss to draw out his enemy. Grass wriggled and pulled back in a wave before him, like subjects bowing. This might be the end, his final battle in the conquest of Alethkar. What happened to him after this? Endless feasts with politicians? A brother who refused to look elsewhere for battle? Dalinar opened himself to the thrill and drove away such worries. He struck the line of enemy troops like a high storm hitting a stack of papers. Soldiers scattered before him, shouting. Dalinar laid about with his shard blade, killing dozens on one side, then the other. Eyes burned, arms fell limp. Dalinar breathed in the joy of the conquest, the narcotic beauty of destruction. None could stand before him. All were tinder, and he the flame. The soldier block should have been able to band together and rush him, but they were too frightened. And why shouldn't they be? People spoke of common men bringing down a shard-bearer, but surely that was a fabrication, a conceit intended to make men fight back, to save shard-bearers from having to hunt them down. He grinned as his horse stumbled, trying to cross the bodies piling around it. Dalinar kicked the beast forward and it leaped, but as it landed, something gave. The creature screamed and collapsed, dumping him. He sighed, shoving aside the horse and standing. He'd broken its back. Shardplate was not meant for such common beasts. One group of soldiers tried a counterattack. Brave, but stupid. Dalinar felled them with broad sweeps of his shard blade. Next, a light-eyed officer organized his men to come press and try to trap Dalinar, if not with their skill, then their weight of bodies. He spun among them, plate lending him energy, blade granting him precision, and the thrill giving him purpose. In moments like this, he could see why he had been created. He was wasted listening to men blab. He was wasted doing anything but this, providing the ultimate test of men's abilities, proving them, demanding their lives at the edge of a sword. He sent them to the Tranquiline Halls primed and ready to fight. He was not a man. He was judgment. Enthralled, he cut down foe after foe, sensing a strange rhythm to the fighting, as if the blows of his sword needed to fall to the dictates of some unseen beat. A redness grew at the edges of his vision, eventually covering the landscape like a veil. It seemed to shift and move like the coils of an eel, trembling to the beats of his sword. He was furious when a calling voice distracted him from the fight.
Dalinar!
He ignored it.
Bright Lord Dalinar! Blackthorn!
That voice was like a screeching Kremlin, playing its song inside his helm. He felled a pair of swordsmen. They'd been light-eyed, but their eyes had burned away and you could no longer tell.
Blackthorn!
Bah! Dalinar spun toward the sound. A man stood nearby, wearing Colin blue. Dalinar raised his shard blade. The man backed away, raising hands with no weapon, still shouting Dalinar's name.
I know him. He's... Kadash?
One of the captains among his elites. Dalinar lowered his sword and shook his head, trying to get the buzzing sound out of his ears. Only then did he see, really see, what surrounded him. The dead. Hundreds upon hundreds of them, with shriveled coals for eyes, their armor and weapons sheared, but their bodies eerily untouched. Almighty above, how many had he killed? He raised his hand to his helm, turning and looking about him. Timid blades of grass crept up among the bodies, pushing between arms, fingers, beside heads. He'd blanketed the plain so thoroughly with corpses that the grass had a difficult time finding places to rise. Dalinar grinned in satisfaction, then grew chill. A few of those bodies with burned eyes, three men he could spot, wore blue. His own men, bearing the armband of the elites.
Bright Lord, Kadash said. Blackthorn, your task is accomplished.
He pointed toward a troop of horsemen charging across the plain. They carried the silver-on-red flag bearing a glyph pair of two mountains. Left no choice, High Prince Kalinor had committed to the battle. Dalinar had destroyed several companies on his own. Only another shard-bearer could stop him.
Excellent, Dalinar said.
He pulled off his helm and took a cloth from Kadash, using it to wipe his face. A water skin followed. Dalinar drank the entire thing. Dalinar tossed away the empty skin, his heart racing, the thrill thrumming within.
Pull back the elites. Do not engage unless I fall.
Dalinar pulled his helm back on and felt the comforting tightness as the latches cinched into place.
Yes, Bright Lord. Gather those of us who fell,
Dalinar said, waving toward the Colin dead.
Make certain they and theirs are cared for.
Of course, sir.
Dalinar dashed toward the oncoming force, his shard plate crunching against stones. He felt sad to have to engage a shard-bearer instead of continuing his fight against the ordinary men. No more laying waste. He now had only one man to kill. He could vaguely remember a time when facing lesser challenges hadn't sated him as much as a good fight against someone capable. What had changed? His run took him toward one of the rock formations on the eastern side of the field, a group of enormous spires, weathered and jagged, like a row of stone stakes. As he entered the shadows, he could hear fighting from the other side. Portions of the armies had broken off and tried to flank each other by rounding the formations. At their base, Kalinor's honor guard split, revealing the High Prince himself on horseback. His plate was overlaid with a silver coloring, perhaps steel or silver leaf. Dalinar had ordered his plate buffed back to its normal slate gray. He'd never understood why people would want to augment the natural majesty of shardplate. Kalinor's horse was a tall, majestic animal, brilliant white with a long mane. It carried the shardbearer with ease, a Rashadium. Yet Kalinor dismounted. He patted the animal fondly on the neck, then stepped forward to meet Dalinar, shardblade appearing in his hand.
Blackthorn, he called. I hear you've been single-handedly destroying my army.
They fight for the Tranquiline Halls now. Would that you had joined to lead them.
Someday, Dalinar said. When I am too old and weak to fight here, I'll welcome being sent.
Curious how quickly tyrants grow religious. It must be convenient to tell yourself that your murders belong to the Almighty instead.
They'd better not belong to him, Dalinar said. I worked hard for those kills, Kalinor. The Almighty can't have them. He can merely credit them to me when weighing my soul.
Then let them weigh you down to damnation itself.
Kalinor waved back his honor guard, who seemed eager to throw themselves at Dalinar. Alas, the High Prince was determined to fight on his own. He swiped with his sword, a long, thin shard blade with a large crossguard and glyphs down its length.
If I kill you, Blackthorn, what then?
Then Sadeus gets a crack at you.
No honor on this battlefield, I see.
Oh, don't pretend you are any better, Dalinar said. I know what you did to rise to your throne. You can't pretend to be a peacemaker now.
Considering what you did to the peacemakers, Kalinor said, I'll count myself lucky.
Dalinar leaped forward, falling into blood stance, a stance for someone who didn't care if he got hit. He was younger, more agile than his opponent. He counted on being able to swing faster, harder. Strangely, Kalinor chose blood stance himself. The two clashed, bashing their swords against one another in a pattern that sent them twisting about in a quick shuffle of footings, each trying to hit the same section of plate repeatedly to open a hole to flesh. Dalinar grunted, batting away his opponent's shard blade. Kalinor was old, but skilled. He had an uncanny ability to pull back before Dalinar's strikes, deflecting some of the force of the impact, preventing the metal from breaking. After furiously exchanging blows for several minutes, both men stepped back, a web of cracks on the left sides of their plate leaking stormlight into the air.
It will happen to you too, Blackthorn, Kalinor growled. If you do kill me, someone will rise up and take your kingdom from you. It will never last.
Dalinar came in for a power swing. One step forward, then a twist all the way about. Kalinor struck him on the right side, a solid hit but insignificant, as it was on the wrong side. Dalinar, on the other hand, came in with a sweeping stroke that hummed in the air. Kalinor tried to move with the blow, but this one had too much momentum. The shard blade connected, destroying the section of plate in an explosion of molten sparks. Kalinor grunted and stumbled to the side, nearly tripping. He lowered his hand to cover the hole in his armor, which continued to leak stormlight at the edges. Half the breastplate had shattered.
You fight like you lead, Colin, he growled. Reckless.
Dalinar ignored the taunt and charged instead. Kalinor ran away, plowing through his honor guard in his haste, shoving some aside and sending them tumbling, bones breaking. Dalinar almost caught him, but Kalinor reached the edge of the large rock formation. He dropped his blade, it puffed away to mist, and sprang, grabbing hold of an outcropping. He started to climb. He reached the base of the natural tower moments later. Boulders littered the ground nearby. In the mysterious way of the storms, this had probably been a hillside until recently. The high storm had ripped most of it away, leaving this unlikely formation poking into the air. It would probably soon get blown down. Dalinar dropped his blade and leapt, snagging an outcropping, his fingers grinding on stone. He dangled before getting a footing, then proceeded to climb up the steep wall after Kalinor. The other shardbearer tried to kick rocks down, but they bounced off Dalinar harmlessly. By the time Dalinar caught up, they had climbed some 50 feet. Down below, soldiers gathered and stared, pointing. Dalinar reached for his opponent's leg, but Kalinor yanked it out of the way and then, still hanging from the stones, summoned his blade and began swiping down. After getting battered on the helm a few times, Dalinar growled and let himself slide down out of the way. Kalinor gouged a few chunks from the wall to send them clattering at Dalinar, then dismissed his blade and continued upward. Dalinar followed more carefully, climbing along a parallel route to the side. He eventually reached the top and peeked over the edge. The summit of the formation was some flat-topped, broken peaks that didn't look terribly sturdy. Kalinor sat on one of them, blade across one leg, his other foot dangling. Dalinar climbed up a safe distance from his enemy, then summoned Oathbringer. Storms, there was barely enough room up here to stand. Wind buffeted him, a windspren zipping around to one side. "Nice view," Kalinor said. Though the forces had started out with equal numbers, below them were far more fallen men in silver and red strewn across the grassland than there were men in blue. "I wonder how many kings get such prime seating to watch their own downfall." "You were never a king," Dalinar said. Kalinor stood and lifted his blade, extending it in one hand, point toward Dalinar's chest. "That, Colden, is all tied up in bearing and assumption. Shall we?" "Clever, bringing me up here," Dalinar thought. Dalinar had the obvious edge in a fair duel, and so Kalinor brought random chance into the fight. Winds, unsteady footing, a plunge that would kill even a shard-bearer. At the very least, this would be a novel challenge. Dalinar stepped forward carefully. Kalinor changed to wind stance, a more flowing, sweeping style of fighting. Dalinar chose stone stance for the solid footing and straightforward power. They traded blows, shuffling back and forth along the line of small peaks. Each step scraped chips off the stones, sending them tumbling down. Kalinor obviously wanted to draw out this fight to maximize the time for Dalinar to slip. Dalinar tested back and forth, letting Kalinor fall into a rhythm, then broke it to strike with everything he had, battering down in overhand blows. Each fanned something burning inside of Dalinar, a thirst that his earlier rampage hadn't sated. The thrill wanted more. Dalinar scored a series of hits on Kalinor's helm, backing him up to the edge, one step away from a fall. The last blow destroyed the helm entirely, exposing an aged face, clean-shaven, mostly bald. Kalinor growled, teeth clenched, and struck back at Dalinar with unexpected ferocity. Dalinar met it blade with blade, then stepped forward to turn it into a shoving match, their weapons locked, neither with room to maneuver. Dalinar met his enemy's gaze. In those light gray eyes, he saw something. Excitement. Energy. A familiar bloodlust. Kalinor felt the thrill, too. Dalinar had heard others speak of it, this euphoria of the contest, the secret Alethi edge. But seeing it right there in the eyes of a man trying to kill him made Dalinar furious. He should not have to share such an intimate feeling with this man. He grunted and, in a surge of strength, tossed Kalinor back. The man stumbled, then slipped. He instantly dropped his shard blade and, in a frantic motion, managed to grab the rock lip as he fell. Helmless, Kalinor dangled. The sense of the thrill in his eyes faded to panic. "Mercy," he whispered. "This is a mercy," Dalinar said, then struck him straight through the face with his shard blade. Kalinor's eyes burned from gray to black as he dropped off the spire, trailing twin lines of black smoke. The corpse scraped rock before hitting far below on the far side of the rock formation, away from the main army. Dalinar breathed out, then sank down, wrung out. Shadows stretched long across the land as the sun met the horizon. It had been a fine fight. He'd accomplished what he'd wanted. He'd conquered all who stood before him. And yet he felt empty. A voice within him kept saying, "That's it? Weren't we promised more?" Down below, a group in Kalinor's colors made for the fallen body. The honor guard had seen where their bright lord had fallen. Dalinar felt a spike of outrage. That was his kill, his victory. He'd won those shards. He scrambled down in a reckless half-climb. The descent was a blur. He was seeing red by the time he hit the ground. One soldier had the blade, others were arguing over the plate, which was broken and mangled. Dalinar attacked, killing six in moments, including the one with the blade. Two others managed to run, but they were slower than he was. Dalinar caught one by the shoulder, whipping him around and smashing him down into the stones. He killed the last with a sweep of Oathbringer.
More. Where were more?
Dalinar saw no men in red, only some in blue, a beleaguered set of soldiers who flew no flag. In their center, however, walked a man in shard plate. Gavilar rested here from the battle in a place behind the lines to take stock. The hunger inside of Dalinar grew. The thrill came upon him in a rush, overwhelming. Shouldn't the strongest rule? Why should he sit back so often, listening to men chat instead of war? There was the man who held what he wanted. A throne and more. The woman Dalinar should have been able to claim. A love he'd been forced to abandon for what reason? No, his fighting today was not done. This was not all. He started toward the group, his mind fuzzy, his insides feeling a deep ache. Passion spren, like tiny crystalline flakes, dropped around him. Shouldn't he have passion? Shouldn't he be rewarded for all he had accomplished? Gavilar was weak. He intended to give up his momentum and rest upon what Dalinar had won for him. Well, there was one way to make certain the war continued. One way to keep the thrill alive. One way for Dalinar to get everything he deserved. He was running. Some of the men in Gavilar's group raised hands in welcome. Weak. No weapons presented against him. He could slaughter them all before they knew what had happened. They deserved it. Dalinar deserved to... Gavilar turned toward him, pulling free his helm and smiling an open, honest grin. Dalinar pulled up, stopping with a lurch. He stared at Gavilar. His brother.
Oh, Stormfather, Dalinar thought. What am I doing?
He let the blade slip from his fingers and vanish. Gavilar strode up, unable to read Dalinar's horrified expression behind his helm. As a blessing, no shame spren appeared, though he should have earned a legion of them in that moment.
"Brother," Gavilar said, "have you seen? The day is won. High Prince Ruthar brought down Gallum, winning shards for his son. Talanor took a blade, and I hear you finally drew out Kalanor. Please tell me he didn't escape you."
"He..."
Dalinar licked his lips, breathing in and out.
"He is dead."
Dalinar pointed toward the fallen form, visible only as a bit of silvery metal shining amid the shadows of the rubble.
"Dalinar, you wonderful, terrible man!"
Gavilar turned toward his soldiers.
"Hail the Blackthorn men! Hail him!"
Glory spren, burst around Gavilar, golden orbs that rotated around his head like a crown. Dalinar blinked amid their cheering and suddenly felt a shame so deep he wanted to crumple up. This time, a single spren, like a falling petal from a blossom, drifted down around him. He had to do something.
"Blade and plate,"
Dalinar said to Gavilar urgently.
"I won them both, but I give them to you. A gift for your children."
"Ha!"
Gavilar said.
"Yasna, what would she do with shards?"
"No, no, you keep them,"
Dalinar pled, grabbing his brother by the arm.
"Please."
"Very well, if you insist," Gavilar said. "I suppose you do already have plate to give your heir."
"If I have one."
"You will,"
Gavilar said, sending some men to recover Kalanor's blade and plate.
"Ha! Toh will have to agree, finally, that we can protect his line. I suspect the wedding will happen within the month."
As would, likely, the official re-coronation, where, for the first time in centuries, all 10 High Princes of Alethkar would bow before a single king. Dalinar sat down on a stone, pulling free his helm and accepting water from a young messenger woman.
"Never again," he swore to himself. "I give way for Galavar in all things. Let him have the throne.
Let him have love. I must never be king.